and I really desire your prayers. Mark chapter number 1 and Mark chapter number 15. Now, I know we've been studying in the book of Mark on Wednesday nights, and I have some of the things I'm going to bring out tonight I've brought out before, but I want to show you something that sort of goes along with the message I preached up at Zionville 2 Wednesday nights ago. And this is the other side of it. And so most of you probably were up at Zionville. And I preached up there on Don't Tell Nobody. Remember that? I hope you do. If not, I'm going to just go to the house. But Mark chapter 1. Most of you are already familiar with this if you were up there and heard the message. Don't tell nobody. But we're going to go over some things. Not everybody was there. Not everybody's heard it. So we're going to go over some things maybe again. But I believe it'll be good for us. And the Lord laid this on my heart. So I want to try to preach it tonight. Mark chapter 1. And then we're going to read a verse in Mark chapter 16. So if you want to turn over there as well. And then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. From Mark chapter 1 to Mark chapter number 16. And then we'll pray. Mark chapter number 1 and verse number 44. This is the healing of the leper. And the Bible said, and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. So he told the leper, he said, say nothing to any man. Don't tell anybody. But in Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15, the Bible said over there, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Yeah. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for letting us be here tonight, and it's good to be in your presence, and we're thankful for letting us be here. Lord, I'm thankful for the visitors we have tonight. I pray that we could all just worship you together. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Yes. I pray that you'd help us as only you can. Yes, Lord. I pray for liberty. I pray for power to preach the gospel, and I pray, Lord, you'd use it to speak to our hearts and help us as thy people. God, that we'd be stirred, that we'd be moved in these last days. Lord, we need your help. I pray for liberty tonight. I pray you'd bind the devil. I pray you'd make it easy to preach. And I pray, Lord, that you would just meet with us as thy people. Help us to be appreciative in our heart like the leper. And he just couldn't. He could not tell anybody, but he published it much. He blazed it abroad. Until many came to hear what you've done for him. So, Lord, help us tonight. We'll thank you for what you've done. We ask it all in Jesus' name, and amen.
I want to say good to have Pastor David Hedrick and his wife with us tonight. And then Brother Dwayne, Brother Jason's brother, good to have him and some visiting with him. So it's good to be here. Good to have you tonight. And let's just pray together that the Lord would speak to our hearts and would help us as only he can. Now, verse number 44 in Mark chapter 1, one more time. The Lord Jesus had just healed this leper. Yeah. And the Bible said that the Lord said unto him and saith unto him, see thou say nothing to any man. Can you imagine being healed of leprosy, right, and then being told, don't say anything to anybody? But that's not the only time in the book of Mark that we find this. We find this, and we pointed this out on Wednesday night before. We find it in chapter 3, verse number 12. The multitudes had been being healed and unclean spirits being cast out. And in chapter 3, verse 12, the Bible said, and he straitly charged them that they should not make him known. Well, all that the Lord had been doing, he said, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody about me. Chapter 5, verse number 43. We see over here, it is the place in the Bible where he had raised the 12-year-old girl from the dead. She had died. And they laughed him to scorn. And he put them all out. But the Bible said in chapter 5, verse number 43, after he had raised her from the dead, and he charged them straitly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given to her to eat. Now, he's just raised this girl from the dead. Man, we'd be telling everybody. We'd be calling the newspaper. We'd be calling the television station. We'd be taking pictures and putting it on Facebook. And we'd be doing all these things. Man, this is great. This girl was dead. Now she's alive. It's a miracle. Let's tell everybody. But the Lord said, don't tell anybody about this. Isn't that odd? Isn't that strange? Chapter number 7, verse number 36, the Bible says over there, this is the deaf man, the man that couldn't speak plainly, and the Lord healed him. Chapter 7, verse number 36, the Bible said, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more, a great deal, they published it. So the Lord said to them, said, don't tell nobody. But they couldn't help but tell people. And so they went out and did it. Chapter 8 and verse number 26, the Bible said, this is the blind man healed. Can you imagine a blind person being healed? I went in the store the other day across from my house, and there's a boy, and I suppose it might have been his mom, and I could tell that she was blind. She was walking along. She had her hand up on that boy's shoulder. And I looked at her, and I could tell that as she walked along, she wasn't looking at anything. She was blind. And the thought came to me, I wonder how she would act if all of a sudden she could see again. Wouldn't that be something? And this blind man is healed here in chapter number 8 and verse 26. The Bible said, and he sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town nor tell it to any in the town. I know I've done this for you, but don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. And then in chapter 8, verse 27, we find Peter's great confession. And verse 27, and Jesus went out and his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying unto them, whom do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. Not everybody knows who you are, but I know who you are. You're the one. You're the Messiah. You're the anointed one. You're the one sent from God. You're the one Isaiah and Jeremiah, Micah prophesied about. You're the one. It's the greatest thing Peter ever said. Thou art the Christ. And look at verse 30. And he charged them that they should tell no man of him. Yes, I'm the Christ, but don't tell nobody. Then we come over to chapter 16, verse 15, and the Lord said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I preached the message up at Zionville, and the title I preached on, or the message, was basically that. I preached on don't tell nobody. But tonight I want to preach on this subject. I want to preach on this, go tell everybody. See, something happened between them first 8, 9 chapters, and by the time we get over to chapter number 16, at first the Lord, he said, don't tell nobody, don't tell nobody. But then we get over there, and he said, go tell everybody in the whole wide world. Every creature, every person, every race, go tell everybody. Something changed along the way. If I've counted correctly, there's at least 8 times in the book of Mark that the Lord Jesus said something to the effect, don't tell anyone. Say nothing to any man. But by the time we get over in chapter 16, he says, tell everybody. And so something had to change along the way. I want to point that out. What changed? Number one, if we're going to go tell everybody, we must have the right message. Now in verse number 31 is where everything begins to change. Because up until this point, the Lord Jesus had not openly taught and preached this message. But in verse 31, the Bible said, and you ought to underline this, and he began to teach them. He began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Now up to this point, the Lord Jesus has not, as far as I can tell in the book of Mark, he's not preached this message. He's not told them about him being rejected, him suffering many things, him going to Jerusalem, him dying upon the cross, or as the Lord Jesus put it here, and be killed. Right. And after 3 days, rise again. And Peter began to rebuke him over this. The Bible says there he began to teach them. And we know tonight that that the Lord Jesus began to teach them up to this point. It's been all miracles and multitudes. Man, they've come from every quarter. They have come to see the Lord Jesus Christ in such numbers that in chapter number 2, I think it is, he is in the house. There's so many people in that house. The lame man carried on the stretcher. They had to go up on the roof and tear the roof off and let that man down in there. They're such a crowd. In chapter 1, when he healed the leper and he published it much and blazed it abroad, the Bible says he could no more enter into the city. That there's not a building in town big enough to hold the Lord Jesus Christ. And from that point, he had to move out into the desert places. So many people come to see and hear what he had to say. And if we seen somebody that was blind and could see, that was a leper that was made clean, that was dead and come to life again, I guess we'd flock to see that too. But the Bible says here he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed and after 3 days rise again. Just part of the gospel is not the gospel.
That's right.
And there's a lot of people talk about God all the time.
Uh-huh.
You hear that, it's very common. Talk about the Lord this, talk about God that, talk about prayer, talk about faith, talk about all these things, and that doesn't, for the most part, bother people.
That's right.
But if you begin to talk about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ,
right,
if you begin to talk that we're sinners and Jesus died on the cross so that we could be saved, and if we're not saved, we'll die and go to hell, and if we're not saved, that means we're sinners, that's what makes people mad. But I'm telling you, that's the gospel.
Yeah.
If we don't tell people the gospel, we're not telling the whole story. The reason the Lord told them so many times, don't say anything, don't say anything. They didn't have the whole gospel yet. But from this point, he began to teach them about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to tell the message, we've got to know the message. And I'm afraid there's a lot of people in church today that are not really familiar with the gospel of the Lord Jesus. That have not truly believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Bible said in 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. The gospel must be preached in its entirety. We must present the cross to people.
We must present the fact that they're sinners and Jesus Christ is the Savior of the whole wide world.
Apart from Him, they'll die. They'll not go to heaven. That's hard for people to accept. Preacher, are you saying that I'm a sinner?
Yes. I'm not saying it. That's what the Word of God says. Preacher, what about my grandma? What about my grandpa? They don't believe. They never heard anything like this. Boy, I'm sorry to tell you. That's hard to tell people. But I promise you this, if you've got a loved one tonight that died and went to hell, if they could send the message back to you, do you know what they'd say? They'd say, repent, repent, don't come to this awful place. It's not a party. It's not an ACD concert. It's not a joyous time. It's not a time where people just finally get away from God and have a good time. No, sir, there's nothing but torment.
There's fire, there's brimstone. Say, preacher, that's awful. That's what the Word of God says. We're to warn people. We have to have the right message. Going around just talking about God and pointing up in the sky. Nobody's going to get saved just talking about that.
They got to hear the gospel.
We got to have the right message. Number two, we got to have the right men. We got to have the right women. Look over in chapter 8, verse 34 and 35. Now, I preached on this last Wednesday night. I'll just quickly point this out for those that weren't here. But in chapter 8, verse 34 and 35, now the Lord Jesus, He has just began to teach that He's going to go and He's going to be rejected and He's going to suffer many things and He's going to be killed and He's going to rise again the third day. Fresh message from the Lord. And then in verse 34, the Bible said, and when He had called the people unto Him with His disciples also, He said unto them, whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for My sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it.
He's been talking about He's going to die. Now He begins to talk about, what about you? If you're going to follow after Me, you're going to have to take up a cross. If you're going to follow after Me, you're going to have to lose your life.
And whoever will lose his life for the gospel's sake, the same shall save it. What He is talking about is being totally, completely, 100% dedicated to follow after Him.
We used to hear preaching on that, about being dedicated to the Lord, about dedicating our life to the Lord Jesus Christ.
You young people ought to give your life to the Lord. You middle people and you older people ought to
dedicate your life to the Lord 100%. We sing the song, is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Say, preacher, no, it's not. My life's a mess. You know why? Try to save your life, you'll lose it. If you lose your life for His sake and the gospel's, you'll find it.
That's right.
I know I've told it over and over, but oh, how I want to be a baseball player. I lived it, breathed it, practiced, got up, and I'm telling you, I had it all planned out in my mind. Lord, if You'll let me do this, and I want to play for the Yankees and be an all-star and hit home runs and be famous and all that kind of stuff. Lord, if You'll let me do that, I'll go and tell little impoverished young people how good You've been to this big famous ball player. Had it all planned out in my mind. The more I tried to save it, the more I lost my life. When I give my life to Him, you know what the Lord's allowed me to do? The Lord has allowed me to tell way more people about what He's done for me than I ever would have gotten to do if I'd have went the other way and done the other thing, and if I'd have been a ball player.
You know, the Yankees are playing the Rangers tonight. We might get to see the first pitch. You say, I don't care about that. I still like to watch it. Say, preacher, if you'd have been a ball player, would you have been playing tonight? No. I'd be old and washed up. You don't see no 45-year-old ball players out there tonight. Retired, gone off the scene, forgot about it. But as a preacher, I'm still pretty young. Well, isn't that a blessing?
If you'll lose your life for His sake. I'm talking about Romans chapter 12, verse 1. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There's a lot of people talking about God, but not a lot of people's got the touch of God on them.
That's right, preacher. Praise God.
I want to have the touch of God upon preaching His word.
What's the difference? Why is there? I'm telling you, I'll be listening to radio.
We were coming to church this morning and we were had the radio or CD or something on. A song came on and I reached up and shut it off. It's a gospel song. Kim said, I didn't much like that either. There's some of it that thrills you from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head. And it's not just that it's a good tune or a nice voice or something like that. What makes a difference? What makes some music so thrilling and it stirs our soul and makes us want to go to heaven right now? And some of it's dry as dirt. It doesn't have nothing on it. It's a dedicated life. Clean life. It's a life totally sold out to God. That makes all the difference in the world. Jesus said, if you lose your life for my sake and the gospel's the same, shall find it.
But if you try to save your life, you'll lose it. There's a principle in the Word of God. And the Lord Jesus knew if He's going to get them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, He's going to have the right men. He's going to have the right women. And they're going to have to be willing to lay down their lives and take up a cross daily. And follow the Lord Jesus Christ. You got to have the right message. You got to have the right men. You got to have the right women. Number three, you got to have the right motive. Now look in chapter 9. Chapter 9 is the Mount of Transfiguration. We'll be studying this Wednesday night, Lord willing. We'll just read ahead a little bit in chapter number 2. The Bible said, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh with Him Peter and James and John and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And He was transfigured before them. And His raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were afraid. Now there's a lesson there. Let me just say this. Y'all to underline verse 6. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. If you don't know what to say, here's good advice. Don't say anything.
That's right.
See, Peter, he is like a lot of people. He just thought, I've just got to say something. This is just such a great experience here. Oh my, I've never seen anything like this. Here's the Lord Jesus. Been with Him a long time now. Never seen Him like that. The Word of God said He was transfigured before them.
Amen.
And oh, as a Jewish person and a disciple of the Lord, wouldn't it be a thrill? There's Moses. That'd be exciting. Yeah. There's the old prophet, the man of God. Wow!
Yeah.
And he said, it's good to be here. We ought to build some tabernacles. We'll build one for you, and we'll build one for Moses, and we'll build one for Elias. What a great thing that would be.
But God wasn't calling them to get into the tabernacle building business. And it didn't have nothing. God didn't call them. Do you know this idea in the world about being a wise man and being up on the mountain, and people go up to the wise man and they ask him questions and then they come down? I wonder if that come from right there. Or the idea that Catholicism has, you know, that you ought to be a monk and you ought to go up on a mountain somewhere, live up there, don't have no interaction with anybody else, and you know, just go up there and pray and eat and sleep. I don't know what they do. Just stay on a mountain somewhere. Don't be around everybody else. God hadn't called us to be monks. God didn't call us to go up on the mountain and build a tabernacle and just stay up there and hang around because the Lord passed by the mountain one time. But they didn't understand that. They didn't understand that to put Moses and Elias on the same level with the Lord Jesus Christ, God hadn't called us to do that. They had to learn in their motives that everything they did was all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 7. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And suddenly when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore save Jesus only with themselves. It's all about him. Everything in the Bible is all about him. Moses and all his message and the law was all about him. And all the prophets were pointing to nobody but to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible's like a compass.
Compass always points to magnetic north. And the Word of God always points to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot, they use the Bible, but they're not pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. They use the Bible and they say, we need to obey the law. The law won't save you. You can obey the law and die and go to hell because you already broke the law. People use the Bible to support and hold up their false religion, and they'll take 5 or 6 verses and they'll use the Bible and they'll say, you got to be baptized to be saved. That's not what the Word of God says. The Word of God says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and it not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. After you get saved, you ought to get baptized. The Bible is not for us to pick and choose and set up our own doctrines and our own way of thinking. The Bible points us to the Lord Jesus Christ. And whatsoever ye do, whether ye eat or drink, do all to the glory of God.
Amen.
It's all about him. We've got to have the right motives in everything that we do. It is for the gospel's sake and for the sake of the Lord Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. How many people can we get? How big of a crowd can we get? How big of a name can we have? It's nothing to do with that. It's about the Lord Jesus. They saw Jesus only. They heard the voice of God that said, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Now look on in verse 9. And I will show you that they still didn't understand everything. The Bible said in verse 9, and as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they'd seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. Don't tell anybody until I've risen from the dead. And look at verse 10. And they kept that saying with themselves,
questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean.
They seen this glorious sight. They come down from the mountain. The Lord said, don't tell anybody till I've risen from the dead. And they begin to question themselves. What's he talking about? They still didn't understand. I could see how that would be hard to understand. The Lord said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be rejected. I'm going to suffer many things. They're going to kill me, and the third day I'm going to rise again. That'd be hard to understand, because that's not normal. We could understand everything up to the being killed part, but as they walked down off the mountain, they said, what's this mean? What's this mean, this rising from the dead? They didn't completely understand it.
That's what the Bible says, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. Wonder what he's talking about. Wonder what he's talking about. They had to have the right motive. Now, look over in chapter 15. You say, boy, I'm glad he's skipping a lot of chapters. We'd be here all night. We have to have the right message. We have to have the right men. We have to have the right women. We must have the right motive. Got to have the right motive of what we're doing. But in chapter number 15, we find over there we must have the right mission accomplished. Now in chapter 15 and verse number 37. And there's a lot in here we could point out, but Jesus, he goes to the cross. In chapter 15, verse 37, the Bible said, and Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. That means he died. He gave up the ghost of his own will. Verse 38, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, truly this man was the Son of God.
And do you know what? That happened exactly like the Lord Jesus told them.
That's right.
That's what he began to teach them. He said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. What did they do to him there? They arrested him. They put him on trial. They mocked him. They scourged him. They beat him. They made fun of him. They condemned him illegally in their court of law. They crucified him. That is exactly what he told them was going to happen. And it happened just exactly the way the Bible, the Old Testament, prophesied about, but also the way that he told them that it was going to happen.
Just exactly like he had said. Then in chapter 15, verse 44, the Bible said, and Pilate marveled if he were already dead, and calling unto him, the centurion, he asked him whether he had been any while dead. When they knew it of the centurion, he gave the body to Joseph. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of the rock and rolled a stone under the door of the sepulcher. And Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph beheld where he was laid.
He was dead and they buried him. He told them that was going to happen. And critics, they say, oh, he was buried. And they just got confused and went to the wrong tomb. Well, they've never read their Bible. They didn't put him out in a public cemetery. He wasn't on a hillside with hundreds and hundreds of other tombs out there. He's in Joseph's backyard. He was in Joseph's family plot.
I remember being a young man and going to the family cemetery with my grandpa Greer. And you know, we have a Greer cemetery.
And that's where, you know, if I die, that's where I'm going to be. But I remember going up there with my grandpa Greer, and we walked through the cemetery, and I've mowed it for years and years. And I remember being up there with him one day, and he said, "Where do you want to be buried?" You know, you want to say, "Do you know something I don't know?" What are you talking about? "Where you want me buried one day?" And he said, "I'm thinking this row right here. This is where we'll be buried." And we've already started that row. When he pointed that out, there's nobody there. Now there's my grandpa, my grandmother, and our little daughter down on this end. Ask me where that is. I know exactly where it is. Where did they bury the Lord Jesus? In Joseph's family cemetery. He'd already paid the funeral home. He'd already dug the place out. He'd already took his family out there and said, "When I die, that's where you're going to bury me." That's where they buried the Lord Jesus. Right. And Mary and a whole lot of other people saw where they laid him. He was dead. He was buried. He was buried one day. He was buried 2 days. And they got worried about him, and they sent a watch out there, and they sealed the tomb and made it sure. And all of a sudden in Joseph's backyard, there's a band of soldiers out there watching. What are they worried about? Luke chapter number 16. He was dead. He was buried. Chapter number 16 is after 3 days. Verse number 2, "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulcher at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, 'Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulcher?' When they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were affrighted, and you would have been too. And he saith unto them, 'Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him.'" He died. He was buried, and he rose again the third day. And now look in verse number 7. Things begin to change. He said, "But go your way. Tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you." He didn't say, the angel didn't say, "Don't tell nobody. Don't let Pilate find out. Don't let that crowd that was out here the other day find out." He said, "Go tell the disciples." Amen, amen. And I like this. He said, "Go tell Peter." Because you know Peter had denied the Lord. And I'm sure Peter had that on his mind. But that angel said, "You make sure you tell Peter too." Yeah. The Lord hadn't forsook Peter. Right. Peter opened his mouth and he said things he shouldn't have said. But he said, "You go tell Peter too. Go your way and tell." I've got that underlined in my Bible. Go your way. Tell his disciples. Something's changed. He didn't say no more, "Don't tell nobody." He said, "Go and tell the disciples." He said in verse number 9, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast 7 devils. And she went and told them." Now look. Those first ladies, they didn't see the Lord Jesus. They saw the empty tomb. But Mary saw him. He appeared to her in verse number 9. And in verse number 10, "And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept." She broke up their pity party. They were mourning and weeping. They were crying and wailing and whining. And he appeared to her. And when he appeared to her, he didn't say, "Don't tell nobody." She went and told the disciples. And
And then there were some walking on the road to Emmaus, and this is elaborated on in the book of Luke. But you go to verse 14. The Bible said afterward he appeared unto the 11. Or that's verse number 12. And after that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue. But look what the Bible said. Neither believed they them. Them women in the chapter, verses 2 through 7 went and told them. Mary went and told them. And now the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, they went and told them. But they still believed them not in verse number 13. But look at verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Can you imagine that first meeting there? He upbraided them because of their unbelief. What would he have said to them? He would have said to them, I told you. I told you after the third day I was going to rise again. And Mary came, and the other Mary, and the other disciples, and you still didn't believe. Why didn't you believe? I told you. I told you. And after the third day, I was going to rise again.
I suppose that it would have been hardest for them to believe because they were the nearest to the Lord Jesus. They were with him right before he was arrested. They were with him in the garden. They were with him as the soldiers took him away. They were at a distance as he was being tried. They knew that he had been crucified. They saw him taken down, and they saw him placed in the tomb. Sometimes, even though we know something, if we've convinced ourselves, this can't be true. This can't be true. Can't you see him sitting around? But here he is in the midst of them. And he, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen, he upbraided them. But look at verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he could stand before the disciples and say, fellas, mission accomplished. Did what I came to do. He didn't say, don't tell nobody. He said, now go tell everybody. Amen. Now you've got the complete message. Now the work has been done. Now go tell everybody. You have to have the right mission accomplished. And one last thing I'll show you. We must have the right means. Got to have the right means. Now, he told them to go tell. You know who them are? Them is us. Those disciples are the early church. He told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Look at verse 19. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Of course, we know that was 40 days later. It said in verse 20, and they went forth and preached everywhere. Hey, they finally getting the picture here. Go tell everybody. But I like this, the Lord working with them. He didn't leave them alone to do the work. He's still working with them. Working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Them that he's talking about, the Lord working with them is us. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 3 and 9, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. The Lord has plan A. And that's the church. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. That's plan A. The Lord does not have plan B.
If we don't do it, it just won't get done. He didn't say, now if the church drops the ball, we'll let the government do it. The government can't solve a one-piece puzzle.
That's right.
They surely couldn't get the gospel out into all the world.
That's right.
But if we don't do what we're supposed to do, it just simply will not get done. He didn't say let the Boy Scouts do it. They're pretty good fellas. He didn't say let the Ruritan, Civitan, the JCs, and all that crowd do it. He said, go ye.
That's right.
It's up to us.
Right.
It's up to us. And if we don't do it, it won't get done. That is plan A. There is no plan B. Plan A is very simple. Go everywhere. That picture of the world, that map of the world back there. You know what that means? Go everywhere. That means go everywhere. From right here, go everywhere into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. All of our ministry, all of our work, all of our ministry, everything we do is to be geared towards that one thing. Go everywhere and tell everybody. I preached it both ways. I preached don't tell nobody. I preached go tell everybody. That's what we're supposed to do. And so we come to, there's something changed in the book of Mark. That's the things that changed. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed.